This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends of pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside sports, fantasy football, also as well on the Pop Culture Cosmos, we review, or I review, Dune Part 2. So go ahead and check it out today. The Pop Culture Cosmos, indeed. It is Joe Soros as well. Shat Holmgren, as he calls himself. Go ahead and find him at LakersBall.com. It's August 1947. Also as well, of course, tonight after our post game at 11 p.m. It is Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. And of course, his company that you need to support today. If you're in the Southern California area and you want a better lawn, no better place to go than Simblades. Simblades. Y.com. Plus also as well, of course, our good friends at the Lakerholics. Lakerholics.com, Jamie Sweet and Laker Tom. I bet they're happy right now because the Lakers had a very comfortable win. So go ahead and check them out today at Lakerholics.com. Also as well, of course, our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, John Costos right down here, Lakers Corner, and also as well, Clutch Talk. He will be live on this very channel, I heard, with a special guest at 2 p.m. Pacific. So join John Costa then. Also as well, of course, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, Yo, and John McCainlin. Go ahead and support all these great channels. And speaking of supporting great channels, it is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. Like, follow, and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. Sorry to everyone out there for the simulcast issues. Did everything I normally do. For some reason, it didn't take, so I apologize, and hopefully you still got a chance to watch the game. And remember, you can always find us watching the game and joining it as far as a great cast and crew and a great chat at playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Well, the Lakers come in tonight fresh off that loss on Saturday night where LeBron got 40,000 points. He was named earlier today the Western Conference Player of the Week. But the Lakers had bigger issues that they need to go ahead and take care of. Coming in 10th place in the Western Conference, looking to gain some ground. And who shall be here stopping by after a big victory in Phoenix? None other than the Oklahoma City Thunder, who actually are one of the best teams playing on the second night of a back-to-back, averaging 130 points, and were 7-2 on their previous back-to-back games, but tonight was not to be as the Lakers came back from an early deficit on a 22-5 run to close out the first quarter and start the second. The reserves, actually, which I had called out and a lot of people have called out for being inept, bad, terrible, whatever detrimental words you want to use, and showed up and actually played well tonight. Taurean Prince with 14 points. But Jaxson Hayes, Spencer Dinwiddie, all giving the kind of energy that you needed off the bench, giving their contributions. Did get to see Some of the reserves come in a little bit early because the Lakers, once they went out on that 22-5 lead, as far as that run, got the hold of the lead and never let it go as they cruised and put it into as far as a comfortable victory in the second half. And it took over for a 116-104 victory. Anthony Davis, solid game, 24-12 with 3 block shots. LeBron, Mr. 40K himself, 19-11. But it was D'Angelo Russell going on a hot streak in the second half. 5-11 from 3, 26 points overall and 3 assists. Excellent game from the Lakers. They killed for once on the glass with a 55-38 difference. So they actually won the rebounding game for once. Not on the offensive rebounds, but to overall. So that's what they needed to do is rebound, rebound, rebound. They played better defense, and it showed. Much better energy tonight at a 116-104 victory. And here today to talk about today's game. Great guys indeed. First up, it is Mr. Chet Holmgren, a.k.a. the guy behind LakersBall.com's Ox1947. And, of course, the company he owns. You need to support today if you're in the Southern California area, Simblades. SimBladesWithY.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. Mr. Lakers nightcap at 11 p.m. Pacific. Lakers quality win tonight against a team leading the Western Conference coming into the game today on a back-to-back. They usually play well, not so tonight. The Lakers showed a lot of energy. I think they're really pissed off about what happened on Saturday and how they let that one get away from them. And all they heard is Denver has your number. Denver owns you. Denver, 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 Denver. That's all they heard for the past 48 hours, and I think they took it out on the OKC Thunder tonight.
Yes, it's going to be important that they continue to have that mindset for the next, 19 games. It's important because your playoff lives are at stake. You don't want to leave it to chance, and you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to face Denver in the first round. I think that's the one matchup the Lakers are going to have to consciously think about during this last stretch is making sure that should they get in, that they don't face Denver in the first round. They're going to need to face someone else. And I think right now how this plays out is a crapshoot. I have no idea how the top four is going to finish. For sure the top three. You don't know, but I have a feeling, actually. I actually am picking Denver to eventually get the first seed. Likely Minnesota will get the second. Oklahoma City could get the third, and then the Clippers will be at fourth. So you can see that the Lakers need to desperately avoid the eighth seed, however they can. And tonight I saw a lot of energy on defense. I saw a lot of really good play by a lot of guys that don't typically play defense very well. And they were staying on the ground. They weren't being duped by the pump fakes and the turnarounds and the spins. They did a very good job playing disciplined, fundamental basketball tonight. They had one run that they had to deal with, but I don't attribute that to them because obviously Oklahoma City's a pretty good team. They're going to have a run. I blame Darvin Ham for allowing that run of, what was it, 12-point lead go down to 2 because he can't seem to, get into his head that you stymie runs sometimes by calling a timeout. We know you can't draw a play to save an ant's life, let alone your life, but can you just, learn that sometimes you can stop things if you just do this? This is the, 20-second timeout. Well, they don't have those anymore, but you know what I mean. However, I'm going to gloat a little on this win because I was very impressed by AD's energy. It didn't look like he was going to be denied tonight. LeBron played pretty well. Torian Prince played well off the bench. The stat of the night, which it made me laugh, Spencer Dinwiddie scored 2 points tonight and was a plus 35. Plus 35. The guy off the bench scoring 2 points was a plus 35. I think it's official that the plus minus status is not of any relevance. But it just feels good to win. It feels good to win. And the Denver game, I could see why it would bother them, because they keep falling for the same problem towards the end. It's almost like the Denver Nuggets turn a switch and go, all right, we're going to play really, 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 really good defense the rest of the way here in the next 5 minutes, and we're going to make every shot. And they do it. So we'll see if the Lakers learn from that. Should they have a future there? But as of right now, they don't have to worry about Denver the rest of the year in terms of regular season. What you want to do now is you want to definitely win this next game against Sacramento, obviously. Sacramento lost tonight. You beat Sacramento again. That's two games in two games. That's how you start climbing those standings. The Lakers' focus right now should be at continuing to play like this. You play like this, you are going to be in a very good position. Now, I do think that the Lakers match up very well against Oklahoma City. And it doesn't matter what's going on. They just seem to match up very well with them. So maybe with some luck, if they do get into the seventh is probably more likely at best. If they can draw Oklahoma City at the two, then they have a little bit of hope of being competitive in the first round should they get that seed. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's a little bit of paying attention to now and then also paying attention to what might be, but not getting too crazy either.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do have a comfortable victory tonight, 116 to 104. Also here today, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check it out tomorrow, along with a special guest, of course. It is John Costa from Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. John, great to have you here, my friend. Absolutely fantastic victory for the Lakers, playing against the team that was, up until now, leading the Western Conference. They are now no longer doing so because they and Minnesota both are playing flip-flop until Denver decides they want to go ahead and, well, I think we're done sitting back. I think we're going to go ahead and pass you both up, because I expect that to happen here in the next 7 to 10 days. But be that as it may, they did come in leading the Western Conference, and they leave no longer leading the Western Conference because the Lakers put together excellent, excellent 3.5 quarters to get the victory tonight, John.
Yes, 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 we did, guys. You know, right now, I'm happy because a win's a win, right? And when they're at this point where we are, we will take every win that we can get, even if it's a charity win like this or if it's one that we are able to really earn. But when we really look at this game, if you have had a chance to watch Oklahoma City Thunder like any night before besides this night, this is not who they are, guys. Like, this is not who they are. We're talking about a team that's top five in the league in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. We're talking about a team that has a SGA who, in my opinion, I've been saying this early since in preseason, MVP candidate, only went off for 20 points, only went off for 20 points tonight. They played very unusual, very out of the norm. So, like, I'll take the win because, hey, well, right now, like I said, we'll take anything, a charity win or earned win. This is one that we got very lucky to stumble upon. And you know what's crazy is the fact that, like, at halftime we had 12 turnovers and we still led by 9. So can you imagine if we would have just, like, cleaned up our play? We could have had this game over with a long time ago because of the way – how poorly they were playing. And if we would have just been able to even cut that down into about half. So – that's one thing I want to touch on. And then, I mean, Joe already touched on, like, really everything else. But one thing that I do want to talk about is, you know, Anthony Davis, right? Like, 24 points, 12 rebounds tonight. Joe, you were talking about how he played aggressive tonight. You saw that aggression in him. Good. I love it. But my issue is, like, yo, man, but, like, where was that aggression when you were going against the best the best big in the league. Where was that aggression when you were going against the big that just put you out of the playoffs last year, swept you out of the playoffs last year? And that's what I mean when I say, like, yo, like, you got to turn that up in you, man. Like, you can't be our player that we lean on so heavily on a night-to-night basis, and this is what you do. You choose the games against the best big in the league. You're going to I'm not really going to bring that intensity and that energy. And then against Wimby, I'm sorry, not against Wimby, against Chet, like, you have all this, like, tough guy energy. Come on, AD. I need that on a night-to-night basis, especially from a player like you. But like I said, guys, great win. My guy, D'Angelo Russell, we know I'm the leader of D'Angelo Russell fan club, and he definitely went off here in the second half and tonight with 26 points. I believe our leading scorer tonight, but great win, though. Happy to be here. I hope everybody in the chat is doing great.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers do win 116-104. That's 116-104. Joe, you can't really pinpoint one Laker that just had it just like a super game outside of that stretch where D'Angelo Russell was unconscious. It was overall, I think, a very good team victory. You just can point to a lot of different places where players stepped up. Austin Reeves had his moments. Even Jackson Hayes, who I actually went out to my way to say how disappointing he was at stretches on defense where he just gets used and abused in the pregame, played very well today. Every single guy that came off that bench today, starter or bench player, played well enough today. And that's, I think, was a really good team victory today. No really getting on the back of LeBron or getting on the back of AD. It was overall just a great victory for the team today.
Yeah, the only issue I had was the turnovers, especially at the beginning of the game. There was 12, I think, in the first quarter and change. But they settled down a little bit after that and played a little bit more disciplined. You can't fault a game when you beat a top two team in the West the way you do, even if you're making some certain mistakes. The rebounding was really good tonight as well. When they rebound well, then they usually tend to win these games. It's how it plays out. When you look at, let's say, Austin and the Torian Princes, they have a certain value during a possession or possessions in a certain spurt. And when they hit when they're supposed to, it changes everything. they get the open shots, they make those shots, then there's a certain feel that the team starts to get to that usually won't stop in terms of good things. Then you factor in D'Angelo Russell, who seems to have I didn't see his all-star year where he was at his best in terms of his overall career. But if D'Angelo Russell can do more of this, it's just going to make everyone when I say everyone, really, it's more like LeBron and AD. It's going to make their jobs just a little bit easier to handle, a little bit less workload, because you can't really stop what he was doing. He was making shots with guys in his face. He was making shots where it looked like he didn't even have the ball in his hand, barely. It was very Steph Curry-like, except it's a little different. He's a lefty, so doesn't look the same. But I bet you if you did a reverse, probably looks the same, where you just see him flick it. That's going to go a long way in helping this team get over this hump that they've been trying to get over for the last 5 months. That's what they're going to need. Good defensive plays, bench players posting plus 35s when they score 2 points. You have a couple of guys getting into double figures on the bench. That's really all you really need, because the starters are good enough to compete with anybody. And we saw that with Denver. We saw that with Oklahoma here tonight. They can compete, but they're going to need help from guys that generally are not consistent enough, generally that don't make the smart basketball plays, that take too many chances. I just wish Darvin Ham would clean some of this up, but I don't know if he's capable of doing that. That's really the only negative I have for this game. I don't like how he manages a game. I don't think I ever will. But the Lakers are going to need to deal with that despite. They're going to need to win despite that. And that's it. There was nothing really earth-shattering here beyond the D'Lo run. They played well throughout the entire game, except for one run that a team normally has. That's it. And they got the win. We're ready to get to Sacramento and get at Sacramento and see if they can cover two games and two opponents.
John, as the president of the D'Angelo Russell fan club, tonight you can hold your head up high, just buff out those shoulders a little bit more, my friend, because yes, walk a little taller today, because there was a stretch where D'Angelo Russell went unconscious. And I was saying in the chat that's the kind of D'Angelo Russell we need consistently in order for the Lakers to make any kind of headway for the rest of the season, including the play-in or playoffs, whatever it may be. But it looks like play-in at this point first before playoffs. The problem is, though, when D'Angelo Russell shoots that well, LeBron shoots that well, when they go off on one of their heaters, even Austin Reeves goes off on one of his heaters, it disguises things that Stone and I were talking about in the offense. Just a little concern. And the only thing is there's a lack of movement in the Lakers offense that I hope, and I've been asking for over a season now, 2 seasons, to get rectified in Ham's offense. That doesn't seem to get rectified at all. But the fact is that with D'Angelo shoots like that, and when LeBron goes on his heaters, it kind of disguises that. So it's good in a way that they are shooting like that, but it's bad because when they don't, it shows the Lakers' weaknesses that much more.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, I think, good and bad things, because like how you mentioned, Gerald, we do need to eventually get some more movement in the offense. Get some more, honestly, motion, off ball, and all that. And so I agree with you. But when you got it going, you got it going. And, you know, one of the biggest terms in basketball is if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or feed the hot hand. And on nights like this, you got to continuously feed the hot hand. Or when you mentioned nights like when LeBron just absolutely goes off, then he ends up, we have to feed the hot hand. And that night, it's a great thing because, hey, you know what? It's carrying us to the win. And it's helping us get a win. So good. We can't complain about it, especially, you know, like I said earlier, being where we are, every win is super, super important. But well, all it does is I think it just shoots ourselves in the foot, because the more and more that we end up relying on D'Angelo Russell just catching a burner in the second half, or LeBron having to catch a burner, or just any player having to catch a burner. I mean, I just feel like that's basketball that's just not reliable. You don't have something that you can fall back on in case that's not happening, because shots aren't always going to be going down, right? And I kind of think to this is like, when you think of great teams, honestly, it's sad to say, because we should have had them, but I mean, the Nuggets, when we play the Nuggets, like, they have so many things that they can fall back on, to where, you know, if MPJ's hitting like how he was like yesterday, where he last game, where he literally just couldn't miss, yo, okay, you know, feed the hot hand. But if MPJ or literally anybody else, Jokic, Jamal, anybody else is not hitting, then all you got to do is run the offense, run the motion that they have. And they have that instilled. And I don't think that the Lakers have to figure that out. And I feel like that's partially due to Darvin Ham not helping the players figure that out. But also due to, because when players just catch a burner, we can't be like, oh, come on, guys, we got to run the motion offense, or we got to get some motion here, we got to get some off-ball cuts. But it's because it's like, no, you just feed the hot hand. So it's great in a win like this. I love it. It's fun to see. But like how you mentioned, I think in the long term, it only hurts us more. But I sure do hope that we get Oklahoma City Thunder in the playoff series. That's all I'll say.
All right, can we get the chat to cool down, please? We got people challenging each other. We should all be in a good mood, please. It's not worth this arguing. Forget about the debates, my friends. The Lakers won, please. We always seem to have these arguments in debates here. Come on, guys. 116 and 104, we got people challenging other two debates and daring each other time each other out again. Come on, we're all trying to be in good spirits here as the Lakers win 116 to 104. Let Joe be the one that rants, when, of course, a rant is deserving. But not today, Joe, because today the Lakers, they played really well as a team. I'd like to see that continue. Their next game is against the Kings. Like you said, they have to beat them in both these games coming up in the next week against the Kings. And definitely, it looks like the road is still tough for the Lakers ahead, with a game against Milwaukee and Minnesota sandwiched in between those two Kings games.
Yeah, it's not just the Kings, though. It's also the Suns. Suns have 26 losses as well. New Orleans has 25. You want to challenge those guys, you're going to have to win 7-8 in a row. It's a lot to ask, but that's what you're going to need to do to get to that spot. And if you're going to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're going to need to at least get the seventh seed at that point. If you want to play the Clippers, you're going to need to get to the fifth seed. If you want to play the Nuggets, right now are in third. I don't think you want to get the sixth spot, but yeah, it's a lot of games left. So we really don't know how this is going to play out, but I do want to remind everyone again, the games behind have no relevance. You have to pay attention to how many losses that the team ahead of you has. Three games ahead of the Lakers is a pretty big gap with 19 games to go. There are two games behind Dallas right now. Actually, technically, they have the same amount of wins, so Dallas is going to have to catch up in terms of two more games. And then Golden State lost a few games earlier this year, or at least got delayed, because they had a tragedy on their team. But once all that clears out, Lakers are going to still have to get wins in very, very tough environments. They took a lot. They put out a lot of energy tonight. But the good thing is they don't have to travel for the next 3 weeks. Take these days off. Really, really, really recover and play like you did tonight. Take the day off after that, because that's pretty much how this is playing out. It's game, day off, game, day off. Make sure you really, 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 really focus. Make sure you really heal up and keep doing what you're doing. Looking at the schedule right now, I'm not afraid of the Kings. I have a lot of confidence that if they play their game, they're likely going to be okay. They're likely going to be competing there.
Milwaukee, they only traveled to Sacramento. Yeah. That's the only thing later in 9 days. But outside of that, till the 24th, everything's
yes.
at home.
Yes. So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about it. Let's say they beat Sacramento on Wednesday. Now you have two games after that against Milwaukee and Minnesota. Milwaukee, yeah, they're a good team. They're a very good team. But they're kind of, I don't know, vulnerable right now. Would you say that?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, right now, everybody from fifth to ninth above the Lakers, okay, or in this case, eighth is vulnerable.
So you're at home. You play your game. You could take that game as well. Now, you've won three games in a row going into the Minnesota game on Sunday. You win that game. Now you're on a four-game winning streak after beating Oklahoma City, Sacramento, Milwaukee, and Minnesota at home. And
that Milwaukee game is going to be tough because the Milwaukee Bucks are on a hot streak, and they just beat the Clippers tonight.
Okay, good. But I'm hearing that maybe Giannis might not play Friday. Is that
true? He didn't play today, and they still won. That's good. Yeah, you're right.
So I'd like to think that if Giannis isn't playing, of course he's going to play Friday. That's always how Oklahoma plays out. But let's say if he didn't, I think it'll make the job a little easier. But now you're looking at, if you want to take this little run seriously, you got to win the next four games. Why? Because you're at home. You're at home and you just beat a second seed pretty much handedly. Beat Sacramento, beat Milwaukee, and really lay the smackdown on Minnesota on Sunday. And now you could almost say, okay, you go to Sacramento and you lose that game. That's the one road game in the middle of this. Then you come back home. You get Golden State, Atlanta, Philly, and Indiana. You should be able to win three out of those four games, in my opinion. So the record of 7-3 becomes a reality. That's how I'm looking at this. But they're going to have to win these next three games for that to be a little bit more comfortable. Because if not, it's probably going to be 6-4, 5-5. If you want to get to 7-3 in that 10-game stretch, you're going to need to win these next three games. And it's going to be grueling after that Indiana game. It's going to be grueling. Now you got to go to Milwaukee. You got to go to Memphis. You got to go to Indiana. You got to go to Brooklyn. You got to go to Toronto. Then you got to go back to Washington.
There's two back-to-backs.
All that travel this late in the season when you're tired, you're beat up from the regular season, and you only have 2 days off. You have 2 days off to play six games on the road. Whoever did this schedule, isn't it a couple, or is that baseball? I think that might be baseball. I'm sorry.
I think it's baseball. This is out of the league office.
You're right. It is baseball. There's a couple. By what I mean by that is there's a couple in Major League Baseball that's been doing the scheduling. It's a literal couple, like a husband and wife that do the scheduling for Major League Baseball. This is the worst way to end the season. On a six-game road trip with this kind of schedule and all that, and the fact that they had to do that already during the Grammy trip. So if they can come out of this with at least a for sure playoff spot, I guess we could tip our hats off to it. But they're going to earn it either way. They're going to have to earn it. And it's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. But you noted as far as baseball is concerned, nobody really argues about the schedule too much on baseball, Joe, because they play 162 games, and by then they don't really care. Near the season, like September, just get the season over with. At this point, it's 162 games. So,
well, Rendon apparently cares. Your guy Rendon.
oh, my guy Rendon? You mean
the guy that gets paid $150 million to complain about there's too many games?
IR Rendon? Oh, yeah. Well, Anthony. They've been doing it for like decades now, so Anthony, why stop
he's,
now?
He's actually, he was actually dumb enough to talk it out loud.
Yeah. Tell him to stay off of IR. That would help.
Yeah, he ain't giving up that money, no.
No, no, but he wants to play less games. Okay, yeah. You can't have one without the other. But need I digress on that? It's just that's a bigger that's a nightcap issue right there. That's a nightcap topic. One of these days you should tackle. I was told them that for tonight's nightcap you might cover Russell Wilson's departure in Denver if that's possible. What's your thoughts on that? But that's up to you, man. Denver let him go.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They took an $85 million cap hit for that.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is Russell Wilson in the
statistically, he didn't look that bad. I mean, numbers-wise, he isn't that bad. Statistically, I'd say.
But, well, I'll answer that question in 40 minutes, sports baby. I want to talk a little Dodgers tonight.
Okay.
The thing is with that is there's contingents with their new – superstar. That's why they're going to have to win. Otherwise, so if they don't win this year because of that dud in the dugout, you all know what I'm talking about. You better go get somebody that knows how to freaking manage.
That'll be Joe Soro tonight. Lakers nightcap at 11 p.m. Pacific. Please join them for that. We've got always a big crowd for the post game. Hey, move on over to Joe. It's the same channel. And it brings it to you like no other. Join them for a nightcap tonight, 11 p.m. Pacific. Please go ahead. It's worth your time. Absolutely. Everybody has a great time there at nightcap. But, John, getting back to you, my friend, once again, the Lakers do win comfortably 116-104. We've been stressing on how bad the defense has been in the past 6 weeks. And, yes, I know that OKC was coming off a back-to-back in Phoenix. It is one of the bigger trips that these teams make from Phoenix to LA. But again, as I noted in the pregame, they're one of the best teams in the NBA on a second night of a back-to-back, averaging 130 points, 7-2 on the season. So they're kind of used to it. They've got a young team. They are not an old team like the Clippers, who we saw tonight ran out of gas in Milwaukee and choked the lead at the very end. This is a team that's young, that should be experienced. They should be on a high leading the Western Conference. But you know what? They got smacked around by the Lakers, who actually, again, as a team, played good on the defensive end and defensive rebounding tonight.
Yeah, honestly, as you alluded to, and you know, they were talking about in the broadcast as well, which is that the Thunder is one of the best teams in the league. Like, I think the best team in the league on the second night of the back-to-back. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it has a lot to do with the fact that they are young. I believe they said like they're the second youngest team in the league. So I mean, they're young, but they're also a really good team. So I mean, it makes sense that they're really good on the second night of the back-to-back. But we all run out of juices at some time. Even I'm young, but at some point when I'm playing basketball, I get tired as well too. So I'm sure that Thunder started feeling it, like how you mentioned, the second night of a back-to-back in LA. And this is one thing that I feel like I always try to make people realize is that I don't know if, you know, many people know what it feels like to really play in front of like that many people. Like, and maybe, you know, maybe to them, because I'm not an NBA player, so I of course can't give my perspective on it, but like maybe to them it's like they're used to it, but it's like it's a lot. It's heart throbbing. You feel everything, you hear everything, and I just think that like that alone will get a player more tired, to be honest with you, just having to deal with all that, and especially being in LA. Like I always talk about why I don't think a lot of players succeed here in Los Angeles. And I blame that fully on just the pressure of being in LA and performing in LA. When you put that Lakers jersey on, you got expectations and you got pressure. And or just when you're in the city of Los Angeles, like, it's just so many bright lights, cameras everywhere, so many national televised games, so many big important games that all these big TV companies are covering, right? So I think that, you know, not only was them just being tired, but sometimes, you know, LA is just too much for some people, man. But let me see. John, Lakers background, left us.
Is it, you're in a different spot in your house? Yeah, is that correct?
Yeah, I am in a different spot. Yeah, my because usually I'm in my room, but my daughter's in there. She's sleeping in there, so I'm over here in the living room.
No worries, all good, my friend. But you will be in the command center tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific when you and a special guest come on and take over the Lakers Fast Break channel with Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. Is that correct?
Yes, I will be. I will be there. My daughter will be at school, so no need to worry. I will be in the Lakers Corner HQ, baby, and I will do it live at 2 p.m. Pacific. So for anybody that wants to get on there, come get at us. We're answering all type of Lakers questions, doing some Lakers quizzes.
Come had a special guest too.
Yes, mm-hmm. Got a special guest lined up.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. It is, again, Lakers Corner with John Costa, along with Clutch Talk. Go ahead and check it out on the Lakers Fast Break channel tomorrow at 2 p.m. And please go and subscribe to his regular channels ASAP as well. But Joe, the game tonight, you got to use this as a benchmark, my friend, as far as what the Lakers can do when they have the energy, when they're motivated to do so. They play well as a team, and I know that's going to get people going like, see, this is what the Lakers can do. See, this is what the Lakers can do. But the thing is, like you said, Joe, we have to follow it up with a 3-1 run, a 4-1 run, maybe a 6-game winning, something where against all these tough teams, you're winning the majority of those games and sending in the league a message that you are not all the way dead yet.
Yeah, the message stuff is a cliche. It has nothing really to do with sending a message. No one's afraid of the Lakers. No one's afraid of LeBron James or Anthony Davis.
Real quick, may I intercede? Just really, I'm so sorry. I just want to say this. I don't think many people want to play the Lakers in a playoff series, though. That's it.
I would. I would want to play them.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I'd want to play them, yeah.
As over right Golden now. State, let's say, let's just use that as an example.
Golden State's burnt toast. If you don't believe me, go watch the Boston game. They didn't even have Porzingis in that game, and they waxed them like a Bulgarian esthetician. It's just it's not going to work. It's not going to work. This whole thing with being scared. No one is scared of LeBron, AD, and the Lakers. No one. If they lose, yeah, okay, but no one's scared. If you want teams to be scared of you, you play like you did tonight, but you got to do that against the best team in the NBA. Then you'll start scaring people. You got to show Minnesota that they have something to worry about, because then Minnesota's going to think about, oof, if we get a 1, 2, or 3 seed and the Lakers end up a 6, 7, or 8, we're going to have to deal with them. And that would screw up our whole season if we lost the first round. There is a chance, but I'm not gonna do that. No, I'm not. They've lost too much this year to get in this thought process that they're gonna be scaring anybody right now. They're not. They're not scaring anybody. They have to win now. They want to create it within the next 19 games. That's it.
Intel Wild says, if I would have bet on this game, I truly would have taken the Lakers, but I stayed off this one tonight. Instead, I bet on the Clippers.
What was the line? One point?
Yeah, at the time. At the time he was talking about last night. And by the way, Intel, you were right on Nurkic, but not on Jokic, because you kept saying Jokic. When we thought you meant Jokic instead of Nurkic, that had the 31 rebounds, but you're right. Yeah, Nurkic had the 31 rebounds for the Suns, and yeah. So, but you won last night. or the other night, as far as the good game for you, as far as that's concerned. So hopefully you will continue to find success in Vegas. And again, if you want to stay around and meet up in person, just give me a holler, LakersFastBreak@Yahoo.com. So just let me know, man. I'll hop down and say hi. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers do win 116-104. Intel, I know you'll get it back going. Truly appreciate the super chat. But John, again, it is finding that consistency, because this is a team that is only five games above 500. But seeing as how it's playing right now in the Western Conference, they are still, of all the 10 teams, the worst. They have the most losses. But let's go on the winning side of things. Now, Joe is right. You got to look more at the losing side of things. But the winning side of things, the Lakers have as many victories as the Mavs and the Kings. Should they find some issues continually down the stretch, and if the Kings lose twice to the Lakers, we could find ourselves in a much better position, say, this time next week. You never know. You never know, John.
Things can turn around quick. Things can turn around quick in the NBA. And I hate to be in the position that we're in, because now, just like how you know, greatly described it, Gerald, we not only do we have to win, but we have to win and they have to lose. So that, like, that's a tough position to be in. But nonetheless, you know, here we are. And like how you said, I've seen crazier things. I've seen crazier things happen. So it could happen. We could turn this thing around. But like I mentioned, at this point, and this is hard to say, because like the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Timberwolves are just flip-flopping. And I like how we all agreed that eventually I think the Nuggets are just going to go ahead and take that first seed. But to figure out that second seed and third seed, we just need to figure out where Oklahoma is going to land. Because I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, you know, earlier in the season, I was saying I really want to go against the Timberwolves in the playoffs, just because I honestly don't believe in the Timberwolves come playoffs, just because playoff basketball and regular season basketball is two different things. Playoff basketball is all strictly about matchups and who you can get played off the court. And I really do believe that we can match up well with the Timberwolves, and we can get Rudy Gobert played off the court. And if we get Rudy Gobert played off the court, now that means that they're having to bring a Naz Reid in. And now they're having to play in a whole different system that they've just dominated the regular season through. So I was saying that, but I'm not going to lie, guys. You know, after watching this game, seeing the way we match up with Oklahoma City Thunder, seeing that we are at our best when Anthony Davis is absolutely able to dominate. And granted, I think he can dominate Rudy Gobert. I think he can dominate Naz Reid. I think he can dominate Karl Anthony Towns. But having all those guys around him, like, it'll be hard. Like, I think they would throw so many looks at him. Throw Naz Reid, throw Rudy, throw Kat. Rudy Gobert will probably be the secondary defender, and Kat will be on him primary. And then Rudy Gobert would just be able to just clean stuff up at the rim. So that'll make it a little harder. But, man, if we played Oklahoma City Thunder, I want to give all credit to them, because I'm just a basketball like purist in general. So I love to see good basketball, and they've played good basketball up into this season so far. So I got to give them that. But seven games, we get to sit there and look at you guys and really scout you guys. And Anthony Davis gets to be at his best, because he's really just going up against Chet. I know they brought in Bismack Biyombo, but We saw how AD did him a couple times, put a shoulder in Bismack, and Bismack just moved. So, hey, honestly, we just need to figure out wherever Oklahoma City Thunder lands, and that's where we need to get to. I ain't gonna lie.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is the Lakers winning 116-104. Joe, again, it's about momentum, and it's the last half hour. What the Lakers need to do to sustain that momentum. But again, you and I, all season long, we don't share the same kind of confidence in this team because of certain factors, whether it's from the top all the way to the bottom, usually starting and going ahead and being around the coaching on this team, that you don't think that against this really tough schedule that the Lakers are going to get it consistently done day in and day out. They have time until Wednesday to go ahead and master a game plan against Sacramento. that needs to work not only this week, but next week as well. So they're about to get a familiarization against Sacramento. And if they can go ahead and play well against them in both those games and win, the Lakers can cut the gap down and actually find themselves maybe within the next 10 days in a 6th or 7th spot, but most likely a 7th, 8th, or 9th spot still.
All due respect to Mr. Holmgren, he's a little too light in the britches at the moment. AD was able to dominate a lot of light and small guys, which as he should. But in this next game, he's going to have to deal with Sabonis. Yeah. Sabonis is like an oak tree.
Gets a lot of boards.
If he can swiftly get in and out with Sabonis, then it becomes a little bit more viable that AD is inserting his dominance. It's hard to do that with Jokic, too. Jokic is two oak trees put together. If you start seeing AD play like this versus this kind of competition, now you're going to have something accurate in terms of AD seems to be pretty on right now, and he's determined. And then you're going to have Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. These are the teams coming up where you need to do what you did tonight, AD. If you do it, you're giving your team a tremendous shot at winning those games. And it's a lot of talent. It's a lot of talent that they're going to have to go through. So the guys have to make their open shots. The guys have to box out, use the fundamentals, and really, really think of these next three games as all must wins, because it sets the stage to finish this extended homestand in a very good position before you get the 6-game road trip gauntlet. And that one there is probably what I'm worried about at the moment. That's the one I'm worried about. It's going to be grueling, and it's going to test their mental and physical ability at that point. And that will tell you who this team's going to be. I will almost guarantee that we're going to know where this team is 100% after that road trip. I can sit there after that road trip, after they get done with that Washington game on their way back home, I'm like, guys, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to get out of the first round, or they look like they're about to make a run. It's going to be obviously those three things, and you'll know after that run.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers winning 116-104. John, again, it's a big, tough test ahead. I mean, I just feel like this is just the start of things. We got through the Nuggets. Unfortunately, didn't come out the way we wanted to, but against the team leading in the Western Conference coming in, absolutely great victory. Again, we can nitpick all we want, but still, absolutely great team victory. But this team just has to play more consistently. When it comes right down to it, they have to play more consistently. And I like Joe and I like Stone, don't think that's going to be the case. I have to see it to believe it. I really have to see it to believe it. And in the next few days, I hope to believe it by seeing the Lakers put together a string of wins against some very good teams.
Gerald, what's the saying? Seeing is believing. And guys, I'm right there with you. I don't believe it. Like, it, and we have a lot of great Laker minds here in the chat, and you know, Joe and Gerald, you guys are great Laker minds as well too. So you guys, please help me out here. But like, what was our biggest win streak this year? Like maybe like a 4-game win streak?
Four or five,
right? Come on, guys. Like, this team has been the absolute epitome of inconsistency. So to ask us to be able to turn consistent in maybe one of the toughest stretches that we've got coming up here. I know we shout out Dante. Dante said Grammy Trip 2.0. So, yes, great.
But then we saw them collapse for weeks afterwards using the IST as an excuse, which I will give you for the first couple days. They did look really tired and really, really heavy-legged, but you can only use that for so long. Exactly. They were playing badly near the end of the year.
Exactly. Shout out Kurt. Kurt said, we are consistently inconsistent. I love that.
When you're close to a 500 team, there you go.
There you go, right? There you go.
Look,
so
we're not. Look, this is starting to sound a little repetitive, and it's also sounding like there's more negativity after a game like tonight. I don't want it to sound like that.
But we're talking about the games ahead.
Yeah, the games ahead. We're basing this off of what they've done this year. We're not basing this off of any other barometer than that.
Because we don't want to get it to the point, because you know, Joe, after a victory like this where the entire team looks good, the Lakers, they start, fans, they just sometimes they start breathing into it. They start taking it all in. They start, I don't want to say hallucinating, but they just start getting some ideas of grandeur on exactly what the Lakers are.
There's five starters that have been consistent this last couple months. Focus on that.
They're 9-2.
You're not going to get Torian Prince dropping 14 points, and you're not going to get plus 35s from Spencer Dinwiddie. Those aren't going to happen. And I also don't believe Vanderbilt or Gabe Vincent are going to be viable players until I see it. At this point, I don't think they're going to be viable at all. However, you do have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on this team. When you have those two on your team, there always is a sliver of a chance. But we also need the other three starters to continue to do what they're doing. D'Angelo Russell, there's ever been an X factor on this particular team, it's D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell does his ice in his veins type activity. There is going to be a chance, but it's got to be almost every game, especially in big games. And unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see that in Denver because that numbskull took him out most of the last 5 minutes of that game when we needed him. And for me, the negativity is really towards him. I'm worried about him screwing this up. That's kind of my only worry right now.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say like to, I guess like to that negativity that I was speaking, Joe, is because we're talking about the upcoming schedule, and all I've seen is inconsistency up until this point in the season, and all I've seen is a terrible coach why would he be able to coach a consistent team in the one of the hardest schedules that we have coming up here? So that's I guess to all the negativity about that. But I mean, yeah, to answer you guys' question, no, I don't think there's much hope here. I mean, even D'Angelo Russell, like, yeah, he's been a lot more consistent, but how much can you, and how much money would you put up that D'Angelo Russell can consistently shoot like this on 26 points on a night to night basis? Like, and I'm the D'Angelo Russell leader of the fan club, and I won't even put that much money up.
No, I would. He's been doing it for 2 months. I'd say I believe that he can do this the rest of the year more than I believe anything else.
Okay, I'm not saying just play well. Like, play well, he hasn't been doing for 2 months. But shooting like this, I mean, how many threes did he hit tonight? He hit five, 11. He hit five threes tonight. You would put your money that he consistently every night.
Well, he has five threes? That's hitting. He's been hitting at 47% for the last 2 months. He's number one in the league since January 1.
And 5 of 11.
So, yeah, he's been playing like this. He really has. He has officially become the third star on this team the last two
months. Chris has a good point. Just like everybody's asking, where was Anthony Davis against the Nuggets? Where was D'Lo against the Nuggets?
So
again, you could say that about the playoffs as well.
Okay. I'll tell you where he was. He was trying to play 4-on-5 because a certain coach decided that he wanted to play a certain player that had no offensive game. The Anthony Davis aggressiveness fallacy, just like him, just like his injury issues or his street clothes thing. The irony in that is that I haven't seen Anthony Davis other than in the playoffs in 2021, which isn't technically the season. I haven't seen him go out for the entire year or half the year due to an injury. I've seen guys like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Those guys have had those kind of situations. AD has to clean up people's stuff. And if he has to do that, it's going to be hard for him to be aggressive and focus on what we really need him to do, which is what he did tonight. See, tonight he didn't have to worry about shadowing any of the perimeter defenders at all. And look what you got. Why? Because you actually had Spencer Dinwiddie, you had D'Angelo Russell, you had Austin Reeves actually stay afoot with their guys. I saw some phenomenal defense tonight. Individual defenses, one-on-one, even through screens. They weren't going under when they should have gone over. They weren't going over. They were playing well on defense. It was very, very, very encouraging tonight. And it made sense. Because look at how they performed. So now, if his teammates are going to take on that responsibility and at least show at least an average ability to guard their players, then AD doesn't have to worry about covering everybody else's stuff. And that'll allow him to free up, number one, on the offensive end. He can probably get the ball more in a position where he can do some damage. And then on defense, he could probably concentrate a little bit more on, let's say, Jokic, so that he isn't just standing there at the elbow, throwing balls wherever anybody is open and then making the shot. And that, by the way, we have to also reiterate this. It's very important. Michael Porter Jr. played a perfect game. If he shoots 70% from the field, the Lakers win that game. So Denver needed to have one of their guys not miss for an entire effing game. Every game has its own footprint. And a lot of that's the NBA today. If that's something that's not discussed a lot either. It's very similar to the NFL. You'll watch a game in the NFL. Look at Miami against Denver. They scored 70 points. And then 2 weeks later, they got shellacked by whoever. Every week, every game, every quarter is its own thing. I don't think, especially guys like us that have been watching the game for a long time, I don't think we still have gotten used to that. I haven't gotten used to it. I'm used to seeing consistency once the team starts to play ball, but you don't see a lot of that really anymore. It's just dependent on the matchups and depending on how they feel that day.
It is the Lakers Fast Break. We do appreciate you joining us. Coming up in just a few minutes, in about 13 minutes, it is Joe Soro. Have a nightcap with Joe Soro. Any special guests for you tonight, Joe?
No? Yeah, me.
Okay. His favorite three people. Me, myself,
Joe,
and I.
Yo, that was so funny. He's like, me.
It's called the nightcap with Joe Soro, not...
Well, sometimes you bring on a special guest and you talk about that. I got a special guest.
What special guest?
You've had me on there sometimes. You had Jamie Sweet. Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Jamie, yes. Well, thank you, John. Appreciate you saying that. Yes, Joe's just so nice of a person and outstanding human being and all. But also, of course, you've had Sean Grice as well. So just wanted to see if you're having a special guest on just to make sure your night is topped off real well.
I guess if you guys want to come and hang out.
Okay. Well, absolutely.
I mean, if you're talking about special, yeah, I could see you being special.
Well, so I may just join you later on in the show after I get everything up as far as this post game.
It'll be a special moment for me.
Yes, that'll be special indeed. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. John, after listening to that special guy, is what he said as far as outlining what the Lakers need to do to get it done in the next few games. It starts Wednesday as far as against the Sacramento Kings. If they lose to Sacramento already, you can forget about probably hopping over them in the Western Conference. But
we do this every game. If they lose, they're done. Then they win, and then, oh, do they have a chance? It's the same talk. It's the same discussion every week. We don't know squat until the season is over. That's it. 82 games finishes, then we find out where they are.
You're right, Frank. I should have said special ed when speaking about Joe. That's right. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, my God. That was so original. Makes me laugh.
Well, so John, getting back to you, my friend.
Call me a meanie head next.
No, that's like the nicest thing you could say to you. That and calling you a narcissist. I don't want to give you compliments.
Listen to my rant and like, yeah. See, Darren knows how I roll. It is Groundhog's Day, Kurt. Will Darren, the Lakers?
Darren, I will not
one seed if they win tomorrow.
Shut up, Joe. When it comes right down to it, John, the Lakers, they've got to play win. They set themselves, they put themselves in this position, have to win consistently. So what are you telling your fan base at Lakers Corner, Clutch Talk? What are you, or what are they explaining to you? What are their grievances with you? What are their comments with you in regards to the Lakers? Do they think they can still get it done?
Now, I'll be honest. I went to the gym earlier. One of my friends who he subscribed to my channel, and he was like, "Yo, bro, like, do you think we can do this? Like, do you think we can actually end up getting this done?" And I told him, "Look, I think six seed is realistically out of the realms here. We can, you know, maybe get there, but I like to be realistic here, and I don't think we'll get there." But as I mentioned earlier, I think our biggest thing should be, yes, try to get the highest seed as possible, but really check out wherever Oklahoma City Thunder lands and try to get that. But more than anything, I mean, guys, I'm going to sound like a broken record. Joe's probably going to make fun of me because
just makes fun of me. That's all.
Because I'm going to sound like a broken record. But, guys, every freaking game matters. No more games off for none of these guys, even for a 39-year-old GOAT. None of these games off, guys.
Oh, I can't. They have no options unless they want to stay in 10th. Exactly. They want to go back down to 10th.
Exactly. Sure,
punt some more games. Why don't you? Yeah, they want to be in 10th.
Come on, Lamar. It's so upsetting because we punted so many winnable games. That's the crazy part. And we could have just so easily saved ourselves from being here. And yes, Kurt, check me out tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific time, baby.
Yes, he's got it. Yes, absolutely. For John Costas, Lakers Corner, and Clutch Talk, Joe, you've got a nightcap. You said you want to talk about Dodgers. You're going to complain about the usual stuff that you usually complain about?
Complain about what?
The Dodgers. Yeah.
I have one complaint. That's it.
It's Dave Roberts. Absolutely. Yeah. That's your only complaint. It's like a broken record.
It's not really a complaint, really, at this point. He's the only one that can screw this up.
But I'd love to hear your thoughts on the nightcap on Russell Wilson. $85 million they're choking on.
So we'll talk Russell Wilson. We'll talk Dodgers. We'll talk the Lakers, obviously, tonight in the future here. With that, I'm going to check out here and start preparing for the show. For those of you who want to come in and have a nightcap, I will be having a nightcap, probably my usual, just because it's been a long day today. I want to have a nice little drink, an hour-long talk, and then get ready to start hitting the hay here. So until then, guys, I'll see you in about 7 minutes. If you have any questions, any comments, you'll be able to ask me or tell me in about 7 minutes. So
that is Mr. Meanie Head, Joe Soro. Go ahead and check him out here at Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro, or Lakers Nightcap with Meanie Head. Maybe I should rename it to that. Oh, he's frozen. He's trying to be so coy. Yes, there you go. John, before we head on out again, it is the Lakers winning 116-104. Great victory by the team, but the challenge is ahead. And I said earlier this weekend that this was the toughest part of the schedule for the Lakers and possibly one of the toughest parts of the schedule for any NBA team this season. But the Lakers are now 1-1. You think they can get it done? You talk to your friend at the gym. You've got people asking you on as far as emailing you. You've got people subscribing to you asking these questions that still hold out hope. Again, Joe and I are usually not on the optimistic side of things. We usually come off realist, and that's what we are because we just shoot it at you real. But, you know, John, you also see things clearly, and I hope that you share our thoughts that, again, we're looking forward to seeing if the Lakers can play like this continuously, but we're not counting on it. But we'll see. We'll see. You never know. Yeah.
I'm also not counting on it, Gerald. As
a lot of things have to fall in place for the Lakers to move up in the standings.
Exactly. Like a lot of things has to fall in place. And on top of that, like how you mentioned, we have one of the toughest schedules in the entire league left. So it's like a lot of things have to fall in place while we face some of the top tier teams in the West or just in the league. So I'm not very optimistic on it, but I just want to at least hopefully get that seventh or eighth seed so we can get two play-in games. That's my biggest thing at this point. And it's crazy how my expectations have so slowly dropped and dropped and dropped, because make fun of me, say however you guys want to say, but earlier this season, like prior to the season starting, I thought we had a championship chance because
I think we all did.
Okay, cool. Okay, because you know how people are. That people act like they knew everything back then.
I think we all drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay,
to
yeah.
Very bad term, because actually drinking the Kool-Aid costs a lot of people their lives, but it is a term that's out there. We drank the Kool-Aid on the Lakers.
Yeah,
actually buying into all the supposed depth we had. Mm-hmm. To, you know, the Lakers great at every position, the upgrades, the signings by Rob Pelinka being really good, Christian Wood, a lot of people were really buying in on that. It just didn't materialize the way that we envisioned it. The Lakers, I don't think we envisioned OKC advancing to a level that I think they grew a lot faster than I think a lot of people anticipated. Minnesota started playing at a level a lot of people didn't anticipate. Denver is where they're at. But again, you have a lot of quality teams right now, 1-10. I don't think even Golden State I understand they lost by 50 plus against Boston, but you get them on the right day with Curry going hot and even they can pose a challenge. So there's no slouches right now in the Western Conference, and the Lakers got a tough stretch ahead of them. And again, this is the part where we saw them punting all these games. This is the effect of what happens when you punt all these games earlier this season.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think we've said it multiple times on our channel here. LeBron's punted like at least five games that we could have won. So it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at. I don't see it happening, but hopefully get the seventh or eighth seed here. And even though Joe said nobody fears us, and maybe people don't fear us, but I'll go ahead and stand on belief that there isn't too many people that are choosing the Lakers. I think there's going to be a lot more people ducking the Lakers in the seven game series versus being like, oh yeah, I want to get the Lakers. So, but yeah, I was also drinking the Kool-Aid, unfortunately, Gerald. And like how you said, I was buying into depth. I was buying into, wow, we made it to Western Conference Finals run. We're really here to help LeBron get his another ring before a man's got to go. He's 39 years old, playing at an all-time high. And then season started. Anthony Davis was playing. I was like, oh, yeah, like this is looking good. And then it quickly
took a turn for the worse. And my expectations just slowly dropped from championship to, okay, let's just finish as a top six seed. So we hope so we don't got to go through the tough playing rigmarole that we went through last year. And now let's just at least finish or as a seventh or eighth seed. But besides that, hey guys, every game is important. Let's just try to get a win.
From now on, every game is important. I know somebody said, oh, in the chat earlier that the Washington game later in the season is going to be an easy win. It comes on the second day of a back-to-back, and we and later in the season, the Lakers are going to be tired. Remember, they're not be able to take some the days off, and you put yourself in this position just like they did last year. They ran out of gas in Denver. And the very same thing possibly could happen here with the Lakers this season.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen, but at this point, you just got to take it game by game, Gerald.
Once again, it is the Lakers winning 116-104. The Lakers are now 34-29. That's 34-29. They're back in ninth place in the Western Conference. They're a game out in the Western Conference standings from the Dallas Mavericks, although they're still two back from them in the loss column. They are 1.5 games out behind Sacramento Kings, but they can gain a full game on them on Wednesday when they face the Sacramento Kings in the first of two matchups coming in the next, say, 7 to 10 days between the Lakers and the Kings. Very important games indeed for the Lakers as they are going to go ahead and hopefully get themselves back on track. But before we head on out, John, I want to ask you in regards to what are you and your special guest going to be talking about on Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk with John Costa tomorrow.
So check this out, guys. 2 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to be going live here on this channel. And we're going to be really answering all you guys's, you know, deepest burning Lakers questions, but also we could treat this as a therapy session. That's kind of like how we did last time when we were on the live. I remember
you saying, I'm going to be on 20-30 minutes. You ended up being on well over an hour, my friend.
Exactly. Because it was a real life therapy session. I mean, everybody in the chat, I mean, Kurt was there. Darren was there. Sports Baby was there. Sean was there. We were just talking about, I mean, like they were just letting off, but they got to go off, let off their chest. I'd read it up on, you know, on the screen. We just talk about it, have a good time. So we're going to do the same thing, guys. Definitely join up if you guys can. And I will be having a special guest with us. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to be doing this Lakers quiz. I'll just be like sharing my screen. I found this website that gives it like show some pretty cool like Lakers quizzes. So we'll take it together, guys. Hopefully they don't ask too many questions from before 1999. But if they do, hopefully the chat can help me out. But we'll have a good time, though.
Well, I used to host on this channel a Lakers quiz show. Do you know your Lakers trivia? So maybe I'll have to bring that back sometime soon for our audience out there. But we'll see. We'll see, indeed. But once again, it is the Lakers fast break. It is the Lakers winning 116-104. Joe is live. Can I confirm Joe is live? Let's go ahead and see if Joe is live. He is live right now. Yeah, so go ahead and join him. It's easy. Just flip over to Joe right now. He is on this channel, Lakers Fast Break. Go ahead and join him there. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, please do so to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with a Lakers Corner with John Costa, a nightcap with Joe Soro, or our playback stuff we do on pregames, or the best post game in town, and also the best chat in town is right here, always at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.